Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, before we start the show, I just want to take a brief moment to let you know there very well could be content of a dirty and or questionable nature contained within this show. Probably not, but who's to know where your value system lies? And if it's all screwed up, then yeah, definitely. So, enjoy? Ha!
Batman, just here to welcoming you to another very exciting episode of Random Bush. Ho 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 ho. Wait, hold on. How does Batman laugh? I don't really know. I've never really heard him laugh. I guess enjoy the show. I am the Knight.
Today's episode was brought to us by The Absence of All Things. Wow. The absence of all things. Nothingness kind of tastes a little minty. It's an unexpected, yet pleasant surprise.
Brewster says he supports equal opportunities for all animals. Yet when he's given the opportunity to put his money where his beak is, he backs down. Brewster says he wants to keep the barnyard safe. Yet his conservative stance leaves us standing in the dust within a digital landscape. Brewster wants things to be the way they were, when we're living in the way it is.
Why do we put so much faith in Brewster anyway?
Can Rooster be trusted to lead us into this new millennium?
Isn't the cock-a-doodle-doo a little too sacred to trust someone as reckless and as out of touch as Rooster?
This message has been brought to you by Duck and the Animal Council for a Better Barn.
Maybe if they did it two or three times, they'd be like, I can stay conscious. This is my third time. I can push through. Yeah. Like, sir, you can't do it more than three times in 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. You got to punch the ticket.
We have insurance.
Wait a second.
A ticket? I'm on my fourth zap. Fifth one's free. Okay, sir, but you do have to wait 6 months till we get that fifth free zap. Okay, you can't just have it tomorrow.
Yeah, people be like, oh, have you gone over to Sean Zappy Farm?
Well, the thing
Sean Zappy Farm, over here. Sean Zappy Farm, you know, you get zapped how many times? Once every year.
Here's
you're
the thing.
Limit two per customer. Limit
we
four
have,
per customer.
We have two types of clientele. Uh-huh. There's the vacationer. This is a once in a lifetime experience for them.
Yeah.
They're never going to do it again. We're never going to see these people again, but we want them to have a good experience. We want them to leave a good Yelp review.
Yeah.
And we want them to walk away.
The Yelp reviews are all like one, and they're like, I got fucking hit by lightning.
Woo! I signed up for this.
This was not as fun as they had advertised.
I don't know why we did. We chickened out at the last minute, and I think that was a good call.
Very, 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 very painful. That's 13 varies. That was very painful.
4 stars. Yeah, so there's that customer. And then there's this other customer who's the guy we see all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he comes in like costumes, and he's getting more out of this. This is sexual, or this is depraved in some way.
Yeah.
And he's always trying to trick us into letting him, like maybe there's 3 or 4 different lightning places in the area, and we have to communicate with them like, you know about Lightning Jim, right? He's got a mustache and shit. He might shave that off and try to go over to you guys and get zapped. We can't have him die on our watch because this guy's got some weird sexual thing with lightning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jim. Look, Jim, you know you were here 4 months ago, bud. Got 2 more months.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. I just need a little bit to get me
Jim,
by.
Now I'm gonna tell you, you know I'm not going to let you do this, but
come
also,
on,
Jim.
Jim, let me just lick an outlet, man.
Well, here's
come
the thing.
On.
I notice all of your fingers are black. Which
well,
makes
yeah,
me think
man.
You've been doing some amateur electrocuting perhaps at
no,
the home.
No, no. man.
You know that this is illegal, Jim.
Oh, come on, man. Let me just get a little bit of that zappy zappy zap.
Jim, you know I can't let you do this.
Come on, man.
You have 2 months.
Come on, man. Walk I know you away. Got a toaster
Security!
Back there.
Security!
Come on. You guys are monsters.
Get
You're
Lightning
monsters!
Jim out of here.
You're monsters.
I'll see you in 2 months, Lightning Jim. That guy's out of control.
Oh, Lightning Jim. What is wrong with Lightning Jim?
Everything.
That's the only way.
He gets. I just got to get some of that shock up in me. You know what I'm saying, baby?
He gets struck by lightning. He gets an erection for 2 months. He goes home and he's like, makes love to his wife. He's like, oh.
Here's the thing.
It's the only way I can do it anymore.
Lightning Jim.
I tried everything. Viagra don't work.
Lightning Jim used to be boring Jim. For the first 34 years of Jim's life. He was the most boring guy. Yeah. He was an accountant.
Yeah.
He wore gray suits every day. He's got 17 gray suits. They look exactly man. Alike.
Yep.
He's got 17 white shirts. This is all Jim owns.
He is a ham and cheese guy all the way.
Through and through.
Yep.
We're talking American cheese with a plastic individual wrap.
One squirt of mayonnaise, and that's it.
That is it.
That's nothing else.
He looks as mustard as a sin.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of that.
He's like, might as well be fucking horseradish, honestly.
Why don't we just put prostitution on my sandwich? All right, and that was boring Jim for the first 37 years of his life. Mm-hmm. And then one day, Jim got hit by lightning in a happenstance, act of God scenario. And you're right, in that moment, perhaps he had a sexual thought just before that. I don't know what it was, but just that lightning ripping through his body. He was filled up for the first time in his life, and he truly knew what it meant to be electrified. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, he was just out of control. He was an electric Jim.
Oh, he went
Lightning
right.
Jim.
He went right up into his boss's office, kicked down the door, knocked the hinges off of it. That's how hard he kicked it. He still had a little bit of that lightning power in him. He kicked it, bam!
Zap!
And he was like, you know what? I quit. I don't want to work for you anymore. And he goes, Jim, what's gotten into you?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's kind of afraid of Lightning Jim.
Yeah.
Because if you get too close to him, he'll give you a static zap.
Yeah,
which
it's
right.
Like permanent.
So it's kind of like when a bee is around. Yeah. You're not afraid of the bee, but at the same time, you don't want to get stung. So you're like, Lightning Jim, just take a step back, bud, okay? I don't want to get the...
If you look into Lightning Jim's eyes...
Your hair stands up a little bit when Jim's around.
A little bit, but he has a popped blood vessel in his eye... That is permanent.
It's
lightning shaped. It has not gone away. That is a cauterized vein in his eyeball. That's a cauterized capillary in his eye
That'll
from getting hit by
when
light.
He gets intense.
When he gets intense. When he gets really mad, his eye pops out just a little bit. And he's like, oh, come on. So we've seen him before. We know this guy.
So Lightning Jim got hit by lightning, goes home to his wife. Gives her a night of her life. Yeah. They had never had this experience before. Lightning Jim tried to stay in his own lane, but maybe 2-3 months out of that.
He's just moaning like thunder as he's going. He's just got bah!
Ba-bam! Ba-bam!
Yeah.
Correct!
when he comes, it shoots a hole in his wall.
Just lightning! Blam! Needless to say, his wife can't stand for this. His wife married boring Jim. It was exciting for like a night or two, but she's got like the Bride of Frankenstein hair going on. Her eyes are just permanently like shocked open, like shock treatment look. Like, oh, I can't. She talks slow and stutterly, like, gotta get away from Lightning Jim. No more of that. So his wife left him, and then it just got more and more depraved as Lightning Jim wanders the world looking for something to get his rocks off.
He twists his dick into a lightning shape.
He's always breaking into transistors. Trying to get his dick in there. Like, ah! Why don't they make... Oh, it's big enough!
He goes into the Walmart. He's just ripping 9-volt batteries out and licking them. He's just shoving as many of them in his mouth as he can.
Lightning Jim's photo
is
up in every Walmart, Target, CVS, and Rite Aid across the country. They know it. He walks in the door and they get an alarm. Like, oh, Lightning Jim's here. Don't let him anywhere near the fucking batteries.
He's disgusting.
It'll suck him dry. That's what he does for snacks.
Oh, he's disgusting. He's disgusting.
You have a bag of Doritos?
Yeah.
He's got like a bag of AAAs.
He's
sucks
disgusting.
Him dry.
He's disgusting. He's awful. And the thing is that he's so warped. He's so crazy with all of his depravity, licking batteries and sticking forks and outlets and everything. When he comes to Sean's zappy services, he calms down for a bit. He gets hit by lightning.
Well, he gets his right.
fill.
But we can only get him every 6 months. There's laws.
We can do it. Yeah. By the fourth or fifth month, he really starts jonesing.
But here's the thing.
And he just goes off the rails.
He's kind of a douchebag as well.
Yeah.
Because I tried to call him the other day, and he didn't answer. And then when I saw him, he was like, oh, my phone wasn't charged.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bullshit, Lightning Jim.
Yeah.
Your phone charges in your fucking pocket, bro. My phone wasn't charged.
Well, the phone wasn't
Such
charged.
A douchebag.
No, you didn't answer. Come on.
I love the weird characters that we create in the context of it.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's me. Hey, it's James. Could you guys play that song on the radio? I don't know.
Oh, I thought you had one.
Flash. Flash.
Master of the Universe.
Hey, could you guys play that song for me? I think it's called Flash. Is there a song about being electrocuted? Is there like an actual
I'm
song?
Sure
I was thinking like TNT, but AC/DC is an electric like terminology.
Yeah. There's got to be like
I think it also means someone
like
told
a
me
high
like,
voltage just feels like a rock word.
Yeah.
Like, it's high voltage.
Yeah. Well, voltage always gets the thing. Amps never get anything. Oh, I guess amped. That's an energy drink. Amped is an energy drink.
It's totally.
Amped.
Yeah. And you plug your guitar into your amp.
Yeah, I'm
you
know, going like to get amped. Let's get,
we're going to get amplified.
Yeah. Woo! Amps and volts.
No, there's a lot of, it's all wrapped up into that. It does seem very rock and roll.
Yeah.
In fact, Lightning Jim, I feel like his natural progression as an individual would be to join the rock and roll culture.
Yeah.
Not as a star, but a roadie.
He's definitely. So, why do they call you Lightning Jim? He's like, well, because I've been hit by lightning 65 times.
Well, wait a minute, Lightning Jim. It feels like maybe you're trying to get hit by lightning. No. Why? Is it raining? What are you saying?
There is this.
What's your drug of choice? Lightning?
There is this podcast back in 2019. These two guys quit that podcast to start a little business where they're in the middle of Florida and they would stick people up on a hill and
come on down to Shocky Sean's and Nampy Andrews where we'll shock the shit out of you. It's a lifetime experience. You're gonna love it. Come on down, bring the whole family.
Hello and welcome back to the Great Barnyard Debate. I am Horace, and joining me today in my stall is Goose. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Horace. I'm very excited to be here.
We are excited to have you. Now, we're about to begin the second half of this boisterous debate. Goose, how do you think these two contenders are matching up today?
Well, Doc has always led a passionate argument regarding moving forward as a community and providing equal opportunity to all barnyard animals, regardless of claw, hoof, or footprint. Whereas Rooster has staunchly stood on his morals of conservatism and traditionalism, which to his credit are not without their merits. It's a bit of a pickle, Horse, and to be perfectly honest, I just can't tell which side of the fence I fall on this one.
I understand your hesitance to take a definitive side on this, Goose.
Well, hold on there. I'm no fair weather fan. I'm just saying that both are presenting valid arguments.
It seems that the entire barnyard is sharing our interest as they have all gathered into the barn to preview the second half of this great debate.
It's been years since everyone took such an interest in our local governmental procedures.
Even the piglets and calves are in attendance.
It's good to see the youth taking such an interest.
If everyone is ready, I believe we'll go ahead and get started. Rooster, when we last gathered, you had the floor for the final point. So we'll direct the first question to Duck this time. Goose, if you will.
Thank you, Horse. Now, Duck, cock-a-doodle-dooing has traditionally always been within Rooster's wheelhouse. Why the sudden interest?
Thank you, Goose. As we see it, the role of cock-a-doodle-dooing is essential to the modern democratic process. For most barnyard constituents, the cock-a-doodle-doo is the dominant source of information about the farm. They tell us what matters. They tell us who matters. The way we vote, the way we answer opinion polls. This is based largely on cock-a-doodle-doo information. So quality of democracy now depends on the information they provide.
Thank you, Doc. And Rooster, your rebuttal?
Thank you, Goose. What's curious about this view is that there's absolutely no evidence to support it. In fact, the bulk of Duck's so-called evidence suggests that the cock-a-doodle-doo tends to be biased the other way. According to Duck's constant insistence, the spectrum of opinions most often represented goes from the center to the right, while voices on the left are generally absent. This, of course, does not represent the actual, nor does it represent the opinions of myself or my supporters. This is the essence of Duck's thesis.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, i.e. the mainstream media, has long since represented an elite interest. And they serve those elite interests in a way that can be described as carrying out a propaganda function.
Oh, here we go. Keep listening, everyone. This is where Duck will tell you about clandestine meetings behind the back shed and secret societies that pull the strings from the shadows. Why don't you tell them the one about how my grandfather and Farmer Brown are in it together? I understand you're rather fond of slandering my family name in that manner.
Okay, everyone. Let's try to keep this professional. We're not here to sling mud at each other. Moving on. Rooster, what do you have to say regarding the abuses of information, editing, or FLAC as it has come to be known?
Well, thank you for providing me the opportunity to address this issue directly, Horse. Duck and his supporters are very fond of using the metaphor of filters. There's all this information out there, but only some of it can get through. Now, of course, the use of filters is inevitable. The cock-a-doodle-doo has always had to select and edit information. However, that filtering isn't just a question of free journalistic judgment. It's heavily influenced by a series of institutional pressures, such as who owns the media, the role of advertisers, the kind of sources that are used, and a more direct form of pressure that Duck calls flack. Well, I say quack to flack. The key question in any democracy is what makes it through the filters and what gets filtered out.
And Duck, your rebuttal.
When we talk about media ownership and cock-a-doodle-dooing, we're talking about the ownership and control by very wealthy people who have interlocking directorships with many other corporations. Now, very often, they don't intervene in a direct way, but that in no way means that they will not. For example, Larry Grossman, who was president of NBC, in his autobiography, mentions that GE chairman of the board, Jack Welch, pointed to him and said, "Remember, you work for General Electric Corporation." Now, in the case of hands-on owners like Rooster, they obviously come in and impose an overall policy that placates to the direct needs of their subsidiaries, and not the needs of Barnyard at large. We are entering a new millennium with just a few huge corporations. You got Time Warner, ABC, Disney, Viacom, and of course our very own Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, that are not just in the news media, but the entire culture, from record labels to magazines to film studios to cable TV stations. We've seen a massive concentration in other industries too, but within the Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, the dangers of that narrowing are much more troubling to myself and my fellow Barnyard mates.
Duck is attempting to obfuscate the point. The cock-a-doodle-doo is a time-honored tradition. The cock-a-doodle-doers are not supposed to express their opinions. Opinions are supposed to be on the editorial pages. On the front page, you have the news. And cock-a-doodle-doo is front page, my friends. I assure you that. At least it's been under the watchful eye of the roosters. But, of course, Duck thinks he knows better. Duck finds our traditions, the very pillars our society are built on, as mostly meaningless. Now, roosters do express opinions, but they don't put them in the cock-a-doodle-doo. We know that the way to express an opinion is to go to an expert and ask the expert, "What do you think about such and such?" And then you quote the expert. That's not your opinion. Quoting the expert, it's called being objective.
But of course, you handpick those supposed experts so they will express the acceptable opinions.
This is the Barnyard, not the jungle. I will not say it again. Control yourselves, please. Goose, if you will.
Thank you, Horace. Now, we easily become accustomed to thinking that the Farmer Browns of this farm cautiously run the Barnyard as large, faceless entities. What could they care of the issues all the way up there in the big house? But we know deep down that that is just not true. They're actually run by down-to-earth, caring people with opinions of their own. And sure, a few of them might be liberal on some issues that don't affect the bottom line, like abortion or building some prison facilities. But When it comes to the bulk of issues, they're significantly more conservative than most Americans. I'd like to welcome a very special guest to the discussion panel this evening. Joining us now to assist in the moderating of tonight's debate, I'm very proud to present Farmer Brown.
What the hell is going on in here? Get back to your stalls right now! How did all the animals get out? What the... Who put a tie on the dog? Come on, y'all!
Hello out there in podcast land. This is your friend Andrew Bush doing a very bad British accent. What I want you to do if you're enjoying the show right now, if you're listening to my voice, is I want you to go up to your best mate, because that's what they call friends in England. Tap them on the shoulder and say, "Oi, mate. Oi, matey." No, that's piratey. Hey, friend. Do it the American way. Hey, friend. You should listen to the Random Bush Show. And if they're like, "I don't want to listen to that. I hate you. We're not friends anymore." Well, that's just better for you. You didn't need them anyways. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show and read between the lines in this message to actually spread the word about this show. Like, seriously. Like, please do it. Oh, my God, please. Enjoy the show.
No. No one ever wants to say goodbye. We all know where we are in the show. We've all seen it coming, and here we are. We made it. We're at the end. But don't worry, the sun will come out tomorrow. Or something like that. I don't know, I heard an orphan say that once. But I mean, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Just wait? I have both my parents. What do I have to wait for? Bullshit. See you next week.